Okay, we're beginning here with the Mishnah on the top of Samach Dalet Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, Nasa Isha Bishaha Ima Eser Shanim. He marries a woman and he has been together with her for 10 years. Velo Yalda, and she hasn't given birth to a child for him. Then, Eino Rashad Vatel. He doesn't have permission to give up on the mitzvah of Puri Rivya, and therefore he must take action over here to do something about it. As Rashi says, Ela Oyigar Shena, Oyseacheret Ima. Either he has to divorce her, or marry another woman in order to accomplish the mitzvah Puri Rivya. Girshav, he chooses to divorce her. Muteret li nasela acher. She has the right to marry another individual. Rashai sheni le shahot ima yud shanim. And the second individual also gets a start again for the 10-year count, because it's as if he's marrying a totally new woman. Vimi pila, if she miscarries anywhere along the way, monet mishashe pila, we only count from the time that she miscarried the 10-year window. Now, there are a number of things to discuss here in the Mishnah. When it says here, Nasai Shah, Bishayimai Eser Shanim, he was with her for 10 years and she did not give birth, then he's not permitted to give up on Pru Urvu. Well, we've seen in the previous Mishnayot that the accomplisher of the mitzvah Pru Urvu is Zacharu Nekeva, according to Beit Hillel, the way that we paskin. So what does that mean, Lo Yalda, that she did not give birth? Because even if she gave birth, he still hasn't accomplished the mitzvah Pru Rivya. Therefore, there are differences of opinions in the Rishonim, and as well as in the Yerushalmi itself. And then Muke Yosef here on this daf brings down the different approaches to this. He says, "Umash from in Yerushalmi, the lo yalda lav dafka." Doesn't mean literally she didn't give birth. Huadinim hayulo banim umetu. Even if she had children and they passed away, monela mishash umetu. Then you count from the time that they passed away. Beishu pirshu the chol sheish la v'lad echad chay enkofino to the garsha the hayalda. If at least she has one child that was born to her, then we don't force him to divorce her. Umatznitan velo yaldaktani, and our Mishnah says that she hasn't given birth at all. Elishyesh mefarshim acherim, dai velo yalda, areshu dematznitan. It's going back on the earlier part of the Mishnah. The mitzvah peririvya, zachar v'dekevakai, is going on, she hasn't given birth to a male and a female. Koshalo yalda, zachar nekevai, in rashad li batel. As long as he doesn't have a male or a female, he cannot be mevatel. We don't count from the time that any of these children died, but rather from the time that she stopped giving birth. That the first explanation seems to make the most sense. She only gave birth to or males or females. We won't force him to divorce in that case. And then certainly those that have the Cherem Rabbeinu Gershom not to take another wife. Hashtanami en yachol. Over here he can't take another wife. So we have here a difference of opinion on the Rishonim based on the tension in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says lo yalda, which sounds like she didn't give birth at all. Yet the mitzvah that is driving over here is the vatel, the bitul of Piri Arivya. Pru Urvu is only accomplished with Zachar Nekeva and children that are living. And therefore, you have all these different opinions within the Rishonim. Some will say that only if she doesn't give birth at all is that the requirement either to divorce her or to take another woman. Some say no, that if she hasn't accomplished the mitzvah pru urvu, zachar nikeva, then he has to either divorce her or take another woman. And then you have those opinions that are debating about whether if the children passed away, then when do you count the 10 years from the time they passed away or from the time that she gave birth to them? What he does say in the end is that everybody agrees if she has multiple children, either all males or females, that there is no such requirement to divorce the woman or take another woman. He also says that in a case where the Cherem Durei Geinu Gershom is in effect, then one does not have permission to take another wife in these instances where he's not granted permission to override the Cherem Durei Gershom. So in summary, the word Lo Yalda can mean either didn't give birth at all, gave birth but they passed away and they were not accomplishing the mitzvah Pru Rivya, or Lo Yalda, she didn't give birth to those that would accomplish mitzvah Pru Rivya, means a male and a female, only one child. But again, then if he gave birth to multiple children, they're just not a male and a female, then almost everybody agrees that there's no problem here and he does not have to divorce her. Right now the Gemara begins. Tana Rabbanan, Nasai Isha v'shayima eser shanim v'lo yalda. Person marries a woman and stays with her for 10 years and she doesn't give him birth. Yotzi v'ten ktuba. He divorces her and he has to give her ktuba. Shema lo zacha lehi banot mimena. Maybe he was not worthy, or he did not merit to build through her. Vafu pishen raya the devar, zech le devar. Even though we're not proof to this matter, we do have a mention of it, because by Avram Avinu it says, miketz eser shanim leshevet Avram beretz Kanan. After 10 years of Avram dwelling in Eretz Kanan, And then Sarah brings Hagar and says, maybe you should build through Hagar because I haven't succeeded at having children. That shows you that living in Chutz Laaretz does not count towards this 10-year count. So the first thing we have to deal with is Yotzi V'Yiten Ketubah. That in this instance, if he marries such a woman and waits the 10 years, he has to divorce her. V'Yiten Ketubah. Tosafot over here discusses what Yotzi means. Does Yotzi mean we force him? Kfiya. Mean that we have corporal punishment to force him in order to do that? Or Yotzi is that we encourage him to divorce her or to do something about the matter. And then V'Yiten Ketubah. The second part here is V'Yiten Ketubah, that she's entitled to her Ketubah over here. She is entitled to her Ketubah over here because Shemalo Zachali Banot Mimeno, because it's his problem. The reason that she's not having children is because maybe he was not Zochet to build through her. So even though he might have children from another woman, it's still the fact that she's not having children might be his problem or his fault. And therefore, even if he divorces her here, she's entitled to her Ketubah. She does not lose out on her Ketubah. So Yotzi, again, Tosafot discusses whether that's with corporal punishment or simply encourage it. Tosafot in the end concludes that we do not force a divorce, but rather we encourage him to do something in order to accomplish the mitzvah, peru, or vu. Number two is she is entitled to her ketubah, even if he has children from another wife, because the problem or the zchut is talab bo, which we'll see on later in today's daf, has to do with him and not with her, the fact that the children were withheld. And then the last thing is, we have a proof from Avram Avinu. It's not the Raya, but only Zecha the Davar. As Tosafot points out, there's no proof from what happened with Avram Avinu. After Avram Avinu, after 10 years, he took another woman. He took Hagar as his wife. So Tosafot says, actually, the conclusion from here should be actually different. That's why it's not a Raya the Davar. It shouldn't be that he has to divorce her, but rather that he should take another wife. And even though that normally when you take a second wife, you'll have to divorce the first wife and give her Ketubah, maybe over here, he should be entitled to take the other woman. And through the taking of other woman or the competition, that will give him rachamim min hashamayim. And then the second woman will give birth. That's why it's only a zecha the davar, not a raya the davar, because there's no proof from here that he has to divorce the woman and pay out her ketubah. The other reason that it's not a proof is because over here, Avram didn't take Hagar at that point. Sarah voluntarily gave Hagar to Avram at that point in time. So for those two reasons, it's only zecha the davar and not a raya the davar. The last thing is that the Gemara here says that the time that they lived in Chutz Laaretz does not count towards the 10-year count. And Rashi says that, Zilma Mishum Avon Chutz Laaretz Heimachurim. Maybe because of the sin of living in Chutz Laaretz, that's what causes them not to be able to have children. So the way that Rashi phrases it, basically this whole din of 10 years would not apply in Chutz Laaretz, because anybody who's living in Chutz Laaretz would not have a din of counting 10 years, because maybe we can be toleet. Claim that the lack of children is because of the sin of Chutz Laaretz. There are many Rishonim who take issue with Rashi's explanation over here and say that the problem of Chutz Laaretz is not a problem if you solely live in Chutz Laaretz, but rather there is the possibility if one is Ola the Eretz Yisrael, that the Zchut of being Ola the Eretz Yisrael would give the person the opportunity to have children, which they otherwise wouldn't have had they been in Chutz Laaretz. And therefore, when you go up to Eretz Yisrael, you count another 10 years. It's not to exempt the 10-year count in Chutz Laaretz. It's just to say, if you're Oled Eretz Yisrael, then we can start the 10-year count over again. There's still other Rishonim who believe that it's only relevant for someone who, at one point, lived in Eretz Yisrael and then left Eretz Yisrael. By Avon, that they left Eretz Yisrael, maybe that's why they're not Zochet to children outside of Eretz Yisrael. And they have to go back to Eretz Yisrael in order to have that determination as to whether the sin is the sin of leaving Eretz Yisrael. And still others suggest that it has to do with Avram Avinu, who was so distraught over having to leave the promised land and having to go outside of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, for him, the mitzvah of Yeshivat Haaretz is so important that we might suspect that the problem of not having children has to do with him living in Chutz Laaretz and not living in Eretz Yisrael. And so therefore you have the Rishonim all formulating this differently as to what Eretz Yisrael does. Rashi is saying that in Chutz Laaretz, you never can be sure that the problem is not because you're living in Chutz Laaretz. Others who say that the zchut of moving to Eretz Yisrael can help the individual to have children. Still others suggest that Eretz Yisrael is only a problem if you've lived there and then left. Or in others who suggest that only when it's something that's so important to the person that being outside of there would be construed as being problematic and as a chait for that individual, and therefore going back there to Israel, the count will restart. The Fikach, Rashi says, therefore, meaning that if we're already going to be tole, that we're going to ascribe a certain problem to the fact that you lived in Chutz Laaretz, then there too, Chalahu, or Chaltahi, if he was sick, or she was sick, or Shnehem Chavushim Beit Asurim, or they're both incarcerated, they don't count towards the 10 years. Now, obviously, it's not a case where they can't have bia because they're incarcerated or because they're sick, because then, of course, the 10 years wouldn't count. You have no idea as to why they can't have children because they never tried to have children. They weren't having bia during that period of time. But rather, in olam mina minyan is the case here, like in Eretz Yisrael, where there are other factors where we would consider ascribing that there's a problem here. If a person's sick or she's sick, then there's some schuyot that are missing, and maybe that's the contributing factor in them not having children, and not the core factor that she is unable to have children. And so because of that, we're going to say, wait 10 years until after these other issues clear up, so that we can be certain that the lack of children is because she is akura. Why don't we learn out of Yitzchak the period of time that one has to wait before determining if a woman is an akara? Yitzchak ben arbim shana bekachto et Rivka. Yitzchak and Rivka got married when Yitzchak was 40. Uchtiv Yitzchak ben shishim shana beledet otam. That he only had children when he was 60. That means they waited 20 years. So why don't we use that as the paradigm for how long a person waits before divorcing a woman versus the 10 years by Abraham? Samalei Yitzchak akur haya. Yitzchak also himself was unable to bear children. Yochi Avraham nami akur haya. Says, wait a minute, but Avraham himself might also not have been able to have children. The Gemara says, we need that for the drush of Rechir Ba'abo, the Rechir Ba'abo, Rabbi Yochanan, lamna nimnu shnotav shel Yishmael. Why were the years of Yishmael enumerated? So we could figure out how old Yaakov was and the midrashim that are associated with it. So what the Gemara is saying at this point is that by Avraham Avinu, we have no reason why the Torah told us that he waited 10 years in Eretz Canaan before he took Hagar. The only reason is there must be some nafka mina l'alocha, and that's what we learned out from that we wait 10 years before determining that a woman cannot give birth. But by Yitzchak, where we have that 20-year waiting period, maybe over there the reason that it was brought down is for the midrash that we're going to describe in a second, as to the enumeration of the years of Yaakov. And since it was necessary from that, then we don't have a reason to believe that it's written just to teach us a halachic outcome. And so therefore we're going to rely on Avraham's years, where the statement is completely extraneous to teach us halacha, whereby Yitzchak, there is a reason for the years to be written, and that is to determine how old Yaakov was. And again, we spoke about this a little bit before, at the end of the first parak in the Gemara Megillah, and back on Samach Aleph Amud Bet, where Tosafot over there discussed the fact that how old was Rivka when Yitzchak married her. And based on the Midrash that he married when she was 3, then he had to wait 10 years anyway for her to be able to bear children. And therefore by Yitzchak it's also only a 10-year waiting period with Rivka, because the first 10 years she was unable to bear children. So Tosafot over here answers similarly to what he answered back on Samach Aleph Amud Bet, which is that Midrashim Chalukim. We have Midrashim that are Chuleik about this issue. And it's not certain that Rivka was 3 when she married Yitzchak. She very well may have been 14 when she married Yitzchak, based on Shmuel HaChassid Mishapira that brought down a Deya over there from the Midrash that she was 14 years old. Now, why is it important to know how old Yitzchak was when he had Yaakov? That is because we want to know what happened to Yaakov. Now, we have a certain amount of information about Yaakov. We know that Yaakov is born when Yitzchak is 60. So we have information about that. We also know that Yaakov goes down to Mitzrayim when he's 130 years old. At that time, Yosef is 39 years old, because we know he was made into Mishneh LeMelech when he was 30 years old. 7 years of Sova, and then 2 more years of famine. That makes him 39 by the time that Yaakov comes down. Now, if Yosef is 39 when Yaakov gets to Mitzrayim and he's 130 years old at that point in time, that means at the time of the birth of Yosef, Yaakov was 91 years old. Now, at 91 years old, Yaakov has completed the 14 years he worked in the house of Laban, because Yosef is born at the tail end of that, because it says once Yosef is born, Yaakov wants to leave. He stays an additional 6 years working to make money, which would make him 97, and then he travels for 1.5 to 2 years to get home. So that means he gets home around the age of 99. Now, as far as him being 91 when Yosef's born, that means if we back out another 14 years from that point in time, that means that he was 77 when he came to the house of Laban. And that we can all work out from the psukim. That's the only information we have. Chazal tell us that because Ishmael's death is mentioned at the end of Parshat Toldot, after Yaakov takes the brachot from Esav, as well as the fact that Esav took a wife from the family of Ishmael at that time, that tells us that Ishmael died right around the time that the brachot were taken. So now we know that Ishmael died at 137 years old. We also know that Yitzchak is 14 years younger than Ishmael, because Ishmael is born when Avram is 86, and Yitzchak is born when Avraham is 100. So there's a 14-year difference in their ages. So if Ishmael is 137, that makes Yitzchak 123 years old when he gives the brachot to Yaakov. Now, based on that, we know that Yitzchak gave birth to Yaakov and Esav when he was 60 years old. 123 minus 60 means that Yaakov and Esav are 63 years old when the brachot were given. That means that Yaakov goes to the house of Laban when he's 63. Yet, we just calculated that Yaakov was at the house of Laban when he was 77 based on the psukim. And that's what leads to the Midrash Chazal that Yaakov was Nitman Bib Beit Shem Ve'Ever in the Beit Midrash of Shem Ve'Ever for 14 years by the time that he left his house until the time that he got to the house of Laban, because the calculation of the psukim brings you to 77. Yet the calculation based on the Midrash Chazal bring you to 63, and those missing 14 years all seem to be when he was learning Torah by Shem Ve'Ever. And that's what Chazal say, that Yaakov was not punished for those 14 years that he was in the house of Shem Ve'Ever, only for the 21, 22 years that he was away while he was working for Leah Rachel, and then the years that he worked to make money plus his return home. And that's why Yosef, who's 17 years old when he leaves his father, he sees him again at 39 years old, 22 years later. But those 14 years by the Beit Midrash of Shem Ve'Ever, he's not punished for. And that's what's meant by over here. That's why we need to know the age of Yitzchak when he gave birth to Yaakov and Esav in order to make this calculation and understand those 14 years. So there's a reason for us to have that information. Whereas by Abraham, there's no reason for the information that he waited 10 years after he reached Eretz Canaan before Sarah had children, unless it's to tell us some sort of normative halacha that is the paradigm by which we will govern when a person should then divorce his wife in order to ensure that he do the mitzvah Be'er Rivya. Even though this is the halacha, nevertheless, the Ramah in Siman Kuf Nun Dalet Sif Yud says, today we do not force an individual to divorce his wife if he has not had children with that woman for 10 years. We might strongly recommend it, but one of the problems today is because of the Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom, he can't just take a second wife. If he has to take a second wife, he's going to have to divorce his first wife, and therefore we do not force him, both because of what Tosafot says, that he thinks here, Yotzi, is not kfiyah, that we force him literally to do it. We recommend that we suggest that he does it, but we don't force him. And number two is because of the Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom, which will actually force him to separate from this woman and not just take another woman. So now the Gemara goes back to discuss the fact that Yitzchak was unable to have children, and so too was Abraham. So from that fact, we can't prove anything between Yitzchak and Abraham. So Amar Yitzchak, Yitzchak Avinu Akuraya. He could not bear children. Shenemar, Beatar Yitzchak Lashem Lenochach Ishto. That he prayed Lenochach, opposite his wife. Al Ishto Lonemar, it doesn't say for his wife. Ela Lenochach, opposite his wife, meaning that there was some sort of parallel between him and his wife. Nochach here might be Mimakbil, that they're in parallel. That's what the Marashah says. And therefore he was praying for himself, just like he was praying for Rivka. And similarly, Rivka was also praying for him and herself, because they were both in the same predicament or the same situation. Whereas Rashi brings down the Midrash, which says that Lenochach here means that they stood at opposite ends of the room, davening together at the same time in order to be mevatel the decree. To teach you that they were both barren, unable to bear children. It says that Hashem heard or responded to his tefillah. Why isn't it Ve'atar Lahem? Why isn't it that he responded to them, Miba'ilei? Both from the perspective of the tefillah was about both of them, and both the fact that they were both davening over here. Why is it only responding to Yitzchak and not responding to Rivka? Because the tefillah of a tzaddik ben tzaddik has more power than the tefillah of a tzaddik ben rasha. And that's not a general or blanket statement. happens to be here in a case where you have yechidim that are davening for something that's very difficult to change, then Sadiq ben Sadiq has some advantage and zchuyot that he can bring to bear that will cause a more likely change in the gzar din, and therefore Yitzchak's tefillah is answered before that of Rivka. Amar Rav Yitzchak, mipnei ma ayu avotenu akurim? Why was it that our forefathers had trouble bearing children? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the tefillot of the tzaddikim, and he wants them to beseech Hashem for children, and then to experience birth of children like something that is incredible because of the way that they interact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, both in the terms of the tefillot in requesting children, as well as the holda'ah that they give in response to those children that are born. Why are their tefillah compared to a pitchfork? Ma eter zema pech tuva mi magom to magom. Just like this pitchfork lifts up the grain and throws it from place to place or moves it from place to place. Kach tefillatan shel tzadikim apechet midotav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu mibidat ragzanut lemidat rachmanut. So too, the tefillah of the tzaddikim can change the midot of Hashem from that of anger to that of mercy or kindness. So here, the tefillah of the tzaddikim were able to change the gzar din of the fact that they were akurim. Amar Rabbi Ami, Avram and Sarah tumtumim ayu, that Avram and Sarah actually did not have the reproductive organs in order to reproduce, shenemar, because the pasuk says in Yishayah, habitu el tzur chutzavtem, look to the rock from which you were hewn, velma kevet bor, and to the hole of the pit, nukartim, that you were dug out of. Uktiv, and the subsequent pasuk says, habitu el Avraham avichem, vela Sarah tochol aleichem. See Avraham, your forefather, and Sarah, who bore you. So here you see a parallel between Avram and Sarah in the previous pasuk. So you can read that one of two ways. You can suggest one is that it's telling you here that the tzur chutzav, the rock that was hewn out, and the hole that was dug out, referring to the reproductive organs of the individuals. And it's saying here that Avraham and Sarah were granted those. The parallel in Psukim says to you that Avram had his stone hewn out, and Sarah had her hole dug out, meaning that their reproductive organs were only given to them at a later time, not when they were originally born. Or the other way to learn is that it only became clear later on. It's the fact that Avram and Sarah had these different parts, but it was not obvious up front because they were tumtumim up front. Now, what is this teaching us? Aside from maybe maligning our avot or saying all these strange things about our avot, what is this teaching us? So the Meiri over here says it teaches you the power of tefillah. The power of tefillah is that even though our forefathers were so far removed or had such difficulties with reproducing or having children, despite that fact, their tefillot were able to overcome what naturally would have seemed impossible for them to have children, and yet their tefillot work, and it's to teach us the power of tefillah. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Barvua, Sarah Imenu Ailuni Taita. Sarah, our mother, was barren, but barren in the sense that she didn't even have a uterus. Shenemar Vati Sarai Akara. Sarai was unable to bear children. Ein la vlad. Why does it teach us ein la vlad? For it told us that she's Akara. Of course, if she's Akara, ein la vlad. Afilu beit vlad ein lad, but to teach you that she didn't even have a uterus. Am Rav Yehuda Breider of Shmuel Bar Shilat, Mishmei Derav, Lo Shanu Ela B'Dorot HaRishonim. This is only true for the earlier generations, like the generations of Avram Avinu, Sheshnotem Mirubot. They lived a long life. So on a relative basis, 10 years from Avram's life, when he lives 175 years, is very different than for our generation. We don't live to those great lengths. In our generation, where we have a lifespan that is much shorter, that is 2.5 years is sufficient, keneged shlosha iburim, keneged three pregnancies. Now, as Rashi describes over here, three pregnancies of 9 months would only be 27 months, but he says that between each pregnancy, you need a month of tahara in order to complete the 7 days of tumah and the 33 days of tahara, in order for the husband to be together with his wife. So if you put those additional 3 months with the 27 months, you get to 30 months, which is 2.5 years. Some people just say that 2.5 years is just a round number for three pregnancies, but we wait 2.5 years, not 10 years. Rabba Amar Rav Nachman, Shalosh Shanim. We wait 3 years. Keneged Shalosh Pekidot. Keneged the 3 times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted women the ability to have children on Rosh Hashanah. Da Amar Mar, Be Rosh Hashanah Nifgudu. On Rosh Hashanah, Sarah, Rachel, Bechana were all granted the right to have children, and so too, we wait for this woman to have three chances of the possibility of being granted children in order to determine that she is not going to have children. So today, we won't wait the full 10 years. We'll only wait 2.5 or 3 years rather than the full 10 years. Amar Rava, leit nehu l'ani klalit. Rava says, we don't abide by any of these differences between the earlier generations and the present generations. Michte matnitan mantakin. Who wrote the Mishnah and put the Mishnah together? Rabbi. Rabbi is the one who put the Mishnah together. And he is, quote unquote, dorot achronim. He's obviously before the Amuraim that are speaking here, but he's not so much. He's 4 or 5 generations before them. V'habi made David. Imaud shani. We already know from the time of David that the lifespan of the individuals was already much shorter. Dichtiv. Yemesh notenu behem shivim shana. That the average span of a person's life is 70 years, and if he's lucky, he gets to 80 years. Now, as Tosafot points out, this is found in Tefillat Moshe. This is not found by David HaMelech. It's in Tehillim, but it's Tefillat Moshe, which makes it sound like Moshe wrote it. So Tosafot over here suggests that it was, even though it was Tefillat Moshe, still David must have either co-authored or put it together, and therefore it's speaking about David, because it makes more sense. David's lifespan was 70 years, so it makes sense that he's saying in Tehillim, Yemei Shnotenu Behem Shemim Shana. There are others that suggest that Tefillah Moshe, and that means Tefillah Al Moshe, rather than Tefillah Le Moshe. There are a Tefillah Bishmosho Moshe, or in the name of Moshe, but David was the one who authored it, and that's why he's talking about 70 years. Well, if David already tells us that the lifespan of individuals come down, and Rabbi, who is way after the time of David HaMelech, writes in the Mishnah 10 years, then how could you claim now that there's a difference? Rabbi, even after Rabbi, who knows their shorter lifespans, is saying 10 years. 10 years means 10 years. We're not going to adjust it for our current lifespans because the Mishnah spoke about it in the context of the current lifespans. And therefore, there is no adjustment. 10 years is the right period of time. Mar says, V'hai shema lo zocha lehi banot hemena, v'dilma ihi lo zachia. Wait, the Braita said before that because maybe he was not meriting in building a family through her. But why is that the case? Maybe it's her fault. Who says that it's his fault and not her fault? Rashi says the nafkamino is for ketubah. Why is she entitled to get her ketubah here if it's her fault? If it's her fault, she shouldn't be entitled to a ketubah. If it's his fault, we understand why she gets a ketubah. But if it's her fault, why should she get the ketubah? That's the question of the Gemara according to Rashi. Others like the Ramban suggest that it has nothing to do with the ketubah, that the ketubah is a separate issue, but the question here simply is, why does he have to divorce her? Why yotzi? If it's his fault, I understand why he has to divorce her. But if it's her fault, then why does he have to divorce her? And the Raiva just simply says that it's just to explain the Lashon HaBraita of why Shema lo zacha. Why is it blaming him and not her for the problem over here? My answer is because Ihi, Kevin Dulo Mifkada Puri Rivya, Lomiancha. Since she is not commanded with regards to Pru Revu, she does not get punished. We're going to see that in the upcoming Gemara, what that has to do with. But since she is not Mitzuvah Al Puri Rivya, then the lack of children is clearly a punishment for the husband, or clearly a problem for the husband. And therefore, she is granted the right to a ketubah, because as far as she's concerned, she doesn't need to get divorced, she doesn't need to do anything. This is the husband's problem, not her problem. We're going to the Ramban. The reason that he has to divorce her is because he's got to accomplish the mitzvah of Peru Revu. She, as far as she's concerned, she doesn't need to get divorced, she can stay here and remain married. So it's not her fault. And again, that's why the Braita uses the Lashon of Lo Zacha, that it's his problem that the zchut is missing over here. Mar says, "Ini v'amrulei rabbanon the Rabbi Ava Bar Zavda nosiv itita v'olid boni." Didn't the rabbanon say to Rabbi Ava Bar Zavda, "Get married to a woman and have some children"? V'amrulei izakai havali mikamaita. He says, "If I was mizocha to have children, I'd have them for my first wife." So why over there does Rabbi Ava Bar Zavda not agree that he is compelled to divorce his wife because it's his fault? And he says, Izakai, if I had zchut, then I would have for my first wife. Well, then what's the reason that you ever have to get divorced? So, haltam, dechuye kamidachilu de rabbonon. Now, he was just pushing the rabbonon away. It's not a true answer. The rabbava bazabda yakam mipirke de rabbuna. Because rabbava bazabda became impotent from the drush of rabbuna. And now the Gemara is going to give us the similar stories that we just saw back on Daf Samach Bet on Friday's Daf, that Rav Gidel Iakami Pirkei de Rav Huna, Rav Gidel himself also had the same problem from withholding his urination, and because he held in his urination, that caused him to lose the ability to have children. And so Rav Gidel had that same problem, Iakami Pirkei de Rav Huna, Rav Chelbo Iakami Pirkei de Rav Huna, and Rav Sheshet Iakami Pirkei de Rav Huna. So here you have four Chachamim, four Amoraim, that all had the same problem from the long drashot of Rav Huna. We saw Rav Sheshet on Friday's daf, and now we're seeing it again by Rav Bar Zavta. So he was just pushing away the Chachamim and saying, it's not going to really matter if I get married to another woman because I can't have any other children, and therefore it's not going to make a difference if I marry another woman. He didn't want to say that explicitly. So he basically said, listen, if I had this chut, I would have had the children from this woman. And the fact that I wasn't zocha, they'll leave it alone. But we're not going to learn anything halachically from that statement, because in his situation, it was impossible for them to have children no matter. And from this, you would have thought to conclude that a person doesn't have to take another wife when he gets older after he's waited, because if he wasn't zocha from the first, he wouldn't have to have the second. And then when it says, don't conclude anything from this, because Rav Bar Zavta is an unusual case. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Achate Suskinta or Susgenita, he got this sickness or illness that is a result of withholding from urinating. And again, we saw before all of these people had problems because of that issue. And he got this disease that is a result of holding back or withholding urinating, which Rashi describes simply as a cholim otze heshetin. And it causes him to become impotent from that. The Oroch says that Suskinita was some sort of disease that caused his skin to become discolored from this sickness of withholding urinating. So Taluya Barza de Bei Rav, they hung him up from a cedar tree in the around the Beit Midrash of Rav. And then this green substance was emitted from him or expelled from him, like the green of a palm branch. And Avraham Rav Yaakov Bar Yaakov, Shittin Sabe Avina, there were 60 of us elders, Chachamim, that were inside of the drashot of Rav Huna. The Kuli Yaker Mipirkei Rav Huna, all of them lost their ability to reproduce because Rav Huna kept going on, and they were holding themselves back from urinating, and it caused them to lose their ability to reproduce. The Barbiano, except for me, the Kaim even Ashai, because I said about myself this pasuk, "Hachma techaye baleha." Wisdom will keep the person alive, and he knew about this cure, or he used this cure, which helped him to recover from the ailment or illness caused by the fact that he had not urinated in a proper time, and therefore he was saved from becoming impotent because he had done this. So now our Mishnah says, "Girsha, if he divorces her, muteret l'sheni, she can go on for marry a second man." Sheni in, she's allowed to go marry another man, shlishi lo. But a third man she's not allowed to get married to. Matnitan mani. Who's the author of our Mishnah? Rabbi he, must be Rabbi. Rabbi who says that a chazakah is established after two times, versus Rabbi Shimon Gamliel who says that a chazakah is established after three times. So our Mishnah seems to indicate that after two, she cannot go ahead and get married, then we assume that she is an akara. The Tanya, mal'a harishon, if she gave a milah to the first child, umate, and he died. Sheni, umate, the second child, and he died. Shlishi lo timol, the third child you do not give a brit milah to, because you already established a chazakah that these children with the brit milah are going to die. And therefore they don't have to accomplish the mitzvah of brit milah, because it's sakanat nefashot. Divrei Rabbi. Rabbi says we establish a chazakah after two. B'shem gamlil omer shlishi timol, the third one you do give a brit milah to. Revi lo timol, the fourth one you do not give a brit milah to, because then you've established a chazakah after three. Vahatanya ipcha. Don't we have a brayta that says just the opposite, reverses the opinions of Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? Where it says, Haimainayu acharnita. Which one is later chronologically? Because whichever one is later chronologically should be the one that has the tokef or authority to it, because they might have reversed their opinions. But if you get the later one, we'll know what their final opinions were. So tashma. Damar chiyabav, amar Rabbi Yochanan, masib arba chayot, bitzipori. There were four sisters in Tzipori, shemala rishon almet. The first sister gave a brit milah to her child, and he died. Shnia, the second sister gave birth to a boy, and gave it a brit, and it died. Shlishit, umate, and then the third one had a child, and then he died. Revi'it, bat lifnei Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The fourth sister came before Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Amala altimoli, do not give him a brit milah. So there it seems like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is saying, and this seems to be a very late brayta, because the story is told by Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Ava, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. That Rabbi Chiya Bar Ava says that this is a story told by Rabbi Yochanan. And it says that Rabbi Yochanan seemingly was present at the time that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was giving the psak. Now we know Rabbi Yochanan was a young Talmid in the shir of Rabbi. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is the father of Rabbi. So that means that if Rabbi Yochanan saw Rabbi Shimon Gamliel at all, it would have been at the tail end of his life that he saw him. So the fact is that this Braita must be a very late Braita. And here we see Rabbi Shimon Gamliel saying that after three is a chazaka, not after two. Amar says, V'dumayat yoshlishit nami hab amarla. He says, there's no proof from there, because maybe if the third sister had come and asked the question, he would have given the same sock. Just that the fourth sister was the first one to ask him. Amar says, Imkein ma'asa dutei d'Rabbi Chir ba'ava. Then what's the point of bringing this whole thing down? If it doesn't teach us anything, because the incident was just that the fourth sister came, and the third sister came as well, he would have given the same answer, then it's not teaching us anything. Obviously, he's bringing it down to teach us that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel believes that three is a chazaka. Maybe that's what he's coming to teach us. Not how many times makes a chazaka, but the fact that sisters can create a chazaka, meaning that within the same family, even though it's not the same individual, or the same party that is being involved in the chazaka, nevertheless, it established the chazaka. So then we don't have any proof from this braita as to which is the later version of their opinions. So Amar Rava Hashtad Amar Dachayot Min Chazkot, now that you've taught us that sisters can create a chazaka, Lo Yisa Adam Isha, Lo Mishpacha Nichpin, person should not marry a woman from a family of women that are sick. Nichpin usually in the Gemara is used to mean epilepsy. Lo Mishpacha Mitzoraim, from a family who has women that have tzarat. And that's only if it happened three times. Meaning, if there are three women that have this ailment associated with them, then one shouldn't marry a sister. So, my habi Allah. What is the pasak Allah on the end? So Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef came, he says, this incident took place before Rabbi Yochanan. B'knishta de Ma'on, in the Beit Knesset in Ma'on, b'yom ha-kippurim shechaliot b'shabbat, on Yom Kippur that fell out on Shabbat, umala rishona, umet. They gave a milah to the first child, and he died. Shnia umet, the second child, and he died. Shlishit balufanav, the third one came before him. Amarla, the chi umoli. He says, go ahead and give him a brit milah. Amarla, abaye chazi de kashart isura v'sakanto. Here, Rabbi Yochanan's willing to, number one, be matir sakana, because he says it's not a chazaka yet with two children, only with a third child. So he's allowing the third child to get a milah. And on top of that, it's Yom Kippur and Shabbat, where a milah, shelo bizmano, is not permitted. So here, if the milah is not permitted because of the problem of a chazaka, then you're also being violation of Shabbat and Yom HaKippurim, because it's a milah shelo bizmano. So those two things were overridden by the fact that two do not establish a chazaka. So Samach Allah Abaye used that, and based on that psak of Rabbi Yochanan, he says that three is a chazaka, two is not a chazaka. V'alzum naspa l'choma, prata de'isi, brei de Rav Yitzhak, brei de Rav Yehuda. So he went ahead and married this woman, Choma, who was the daughter of Isi, son of Yitzchak, the son of Rabbi Yehuda. The Naspa, she had first been married to Rachba, Mipumpadita, Vishokhiv. She had been married first to Rachba, and he passed away. Then Rabbi Yitzchak braid the Rabba Barachana. Then she was married to Rabbi Yitzchak braid the Rabba Barachana, Vishokhiv, and he died. The Naspa, who? And then Abaye married her, Vishokhiv, and he died. He passed away because he's married to her. It's interesting because the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us that Abaye died early because he was from Beit Eli. So you have to say something like, Vahavaha Garam, that he married this woman who was like a black widow, a killer wife, but also because he was from Beit Eli, and the two came together, and that Abaye died early because of being married to this woman. Why would Abaye ever risk his life based on Psak Halacha like this? Why? Isn't Abaye the one who said, Avin de Samcho, Yitzhak Sumcho, Labar Samcho? If you hear Rabbi Avin tell you things in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, you can rely on it. But if it's Yitzhak Sumka, do not rely on it. So over here, the memra that we brought about the story about Yom HaKippurim was Rabbi Yitzhak Bar Yosef with the story of Rabbi Yochanan. It's obviously that he's referring to that to Rabbi Yitzhak. And he's saying that Rabbi says that he's not reliable in bringing you down a din from Rabbi Yochanan. So Abaye himself says he wasn't reliable. How did he risk his life to marry this woman based on that statement of Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef? And why is that? Avin yeshno b'chazara. Avin does chazara. Yitzchak sumka enu b'chazara. So the Rashi brings two interpretations. Either Avin is chozer el tamudo, and therefore you can rely, he has reliability in his memrot. And Yitzchak sumka doesn't do so much chazara, so he's not so reliable. Or that Avin is always around Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore he'll know if Rabbi Yochanan reversed his position. Because Yitzchak sumka was there sometimes. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef was there sometimes, and not all the time. And therefore, if Rabbi Yochanan changed his mind, he wouldn't know about it. Ve'od, imar de pligi linyan milah, b'nisuin mi pligi. And then on top of that, just because they argue by milah, who says that they also argue by nisuin? Meaning that, how do you know that this machloket ver chazakah, which is applied to milah, also applies benisuin? In. It is that way. Vatanya, because we have a braita that says it. Niseit the rishon umeit, the shenei umeit, the shishi lo tinasei, divrei rabbi. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel omer shlishi tinasei, the revi lo tinasei. So you see that there is this machloket that applies even by nisuin, so the extrapolation from milah to nisuin was not incorrect by Abaye, but Rava is still surprised that Abaye was willing to, in a quote unquote, risk his life, and get married to this killer woman based on the memor of Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, when he said that Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef himself was not reliable in bringing down the memorot of Rabbi Yochanan. Now the Gemara comments on what is the din of chazakah with regards to Mila versus Nisuin. Gemara says, Bishlama gabi Mila ika mishpacha derafi dama. There are families whose blood is loose, meaning that it does not coagulate easily, and therefore they bleed to death when they get a Mila. Ika mishpacha dekomi dama. That has blood that is thicker and that coagulates faster, and therefore the wound is healed from the milah and the child is able to survive it. Elinusui, my time up, by marriage, why should it matter? Similarly, Rav Mordechai Ravashi, Achimar Vime, Mihagrunaya, Mishmeh de Ravuna, Mayan Goreim. Some suggest it is that the Mayan, the source, the uterus is what causes it. Ravashi, Amar Mazal Goreim, it's bad luck. So now, what is it by the marriage of the woman that causes the problem? So some suggest it is the intimacy with the woman. Biyah causes him to become sick or ill from this woman. And therefore, there is something about this woman that causes people to die because of the intercourse that is performed with her. Others say that this woman just has bad mazel, and becoming connected to her is going to bring bad mazel to this individual, and that's why they're going to die. My binayu, what's the nafkamina between them? Igam binayu de irso mit. If she only had Erusin and the husband died, then according to the one who says Mayan Goreim, it's clear here that the guy didn't die because of her. He died because of whatever other variable or reason that is there, but not because of her, because he never had Biyah with her. Inami, the Nafo Mediklo Amit, or some crazy, far-fetched death, which is that he fell out of a tree and he died, which clearly is not related to having Biyah with this woman. It's not having to do with sickness. So if you think that Biyah, or intercourse with the woman, is the cause of the sickness, then either without intercourse, by case of Erusin, or a case where the death is not associated with any illness, then you clearly can't blame it on the woman. On the other hand, if you say Mazal Goreim, that she is just a bad luck person, then no matter how the guy dies, she brings bad luck to the situation, and this would count towards the Chazakah. But that's why the woman does have this idea of Chazakah, bearing multiple people, and then causing this problem. Amarle Rav Yosef Brei de Rova de Rova. So Rav Yosef, the son of Rava, says to his father Rava, by my name Rav Yosef, he says, I asked of Rav Yosef, who is the contemporary of Rava, the Rebbe of Rava, Halacha ki Rabbi, Barmaliin. He says, Halacha like Rabbi, and he says, yes. Halacha ki Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, I asked him if the Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Barmaliin, and he said, yes. Ahuhi ahachak bi? So Rav Yosef, the son of Rava, says, is Rav Yosef laughing at me, making fun of me, that he's saying the Halacha is like both of them? How is it possible that the Halacha is both like Rabbi, and like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, have differing opinions over here. Stamahi upashit loch. There is a difference. There are stam mishnayot, and the stam mishnayot sometimes go like Rabbi, and sometimes go like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. And what Rabbi Yosef is saying to you is the locha is like Rabbi, where the stam mishnah is like him, and the locha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, where the stam mishnah is like him. Nisuim umalkiyot kirabi. By marriage and malkiyot, the locha is like Rabbi, the two is a chazaka. Svestot vishura muad. When it comes to establishing cycles for a nidah and shura mu'ad to determine that he is considered to be a wild shur and he has to pay full payment rather than chatsi nezik like a tam, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel takes three times to establish the chazakah. Nisuin hadamran. Nisuin we learn from our mishnah over here that says two and not three, that a chazakah is established after two. Malkiot, how do we know that Malkiot is a stam mishnah like Rabbi? That's none. Mishalaka vishana. Person who got Malkut once, and then got Malkut twice, Beit Din Kontino told the Kippah, then the third time that he sins, and he violates the Din of Beit Din, then they incarcerate him, Umachilin Oto Sorin, and they feed him barley, Achitei Kreison Nivgat, until his stomach explodes, meaning that we have no more patience for him, we gave him chances, this guy is clearly a Russian, and he doesn't intend to change his ways, so therefore Beit Din takes a different approach, which is basically going to cost him his life, because he's not responding to the Malkut, but it's already after two times. By the third time already we say no more, so chazak is established already by two times. Vestot, with regards to vestot etnan, ina isha kuvat la veset, woman does not establish a cycle ad shetikavena shlosh piamim, until she has it three times. Once she has a sighting in a same interval three times, whether that's the same day of the month, that's the same distance of interval between them, which will require four sightings in order to do that. If she continues to have something that happens on a recurring basis, after three times, that will establish a chazakah for her to be then worried about the next time that she comes around to that time period, she should expect to become a nida. And if she expects to become a nida, she has to separate from her husband, number one. And number two is, we don't worry about lemafreya. We don't worry about retroactively having to be mitameh her for the 24 hours time period before, because we know that that's when it's going to happen. We have a set interval when it's going to happen. If for whatever reason, one of the times she breaks from that normal cycle or that normal interval, it will take her three times for us to establish that that old interval is not the right one, and either the new one is, or she has no more cycle anymore. But it takes three times to undermine a cycle that is already established. So you see here, three is a number for Chazaka with regards to Vestot. When it comes to the wild shore, that's not. Ain't a shore that's simuad, ashiyidu bo shlosha piyamim. That a shore is not considered to be a muad until it testify about it three times, until it's gored three times. It takes three times to establish a chazakah. And the Rishonim and Achronim deal with the fact that, what is the difference here? Why is there a difference here? So, first of all, with regards to vestot are derabonon. So over there, we're going to go to kula and say that a chazakah is only established after three times when you have a chazakah. With regards to shore and muad, that's a case of mamon, which is a motzi mechavereo alav haraya. And therefore, we're going to say that you need three times in order to establish a chazakah, not two times to establish a chazakah. With regards to nisuin, which is sakanat nefashot, there's a chance that this woman is going to kill somebody, not literally, but because of the nature of this woman, she causes people to die. She's a black widow. Therefore, we're going to say two's enough, and we're not going to wait for a third time to worry about sakanat nefashot. With regards to malkiyot, you have to say that there's an obligation of beit din to separate such an individual from the kahal, biyata rami kibrecha, and therefore we're not going to wait three times. If he's sinned three times already, even though technically you'll need the fourth time to establish a chazakah, but if he's done it three times, we know already this person has no intent of changing his ways, and therefore we're not going to wait around to find out about it. They take care of him after the third time. The one case that the Gemara does not address here is the case of milah. And the question is, where do you place milah? If you say that the issue of milah is a kanat nefashot, so over there you would put it in the same din as nisuin. On the other hand, maybe milah is a mitzvah, and not only a mitzvah, but a fundamental mitzvah of Judaism. So maybe the zchut ha-milah means that you should wait a little longer and try again. So there, it's tadim to go both ways with milah, whether chazak is only established after two or three, based on the conclusion that we have in the Gemara here. I'm going to stop by the two dots on the top of Samachay Amud Aleph.